Amen.
Yesterday on the way home from Rapid, we listened to Jesse's message. Maybe Vicki told you in Sunday school about his trip to heaven. It was very good. Isn't that big of me to say so? But he said at the end that Jesus had a tear in his eye, and he said his worst day was coming. And I knew, just in my heart, it just reminded me, because I've always had this thing about that verse in Revelation that says there was a period of silence. You know, like, it's going to happen. And he said that, Jesse said, I thought your worst day was your crucifixion. He said, no, the worst day is when I can't be the Savior anymore. He said, I'm not coming when I come back as a Savior. I'm coming as a judge. And that's the worst day. And he said, I can't change it. God has established it. So every day is a day to draw people to the Lord while there's still a Savior. And that will be it'll be a terrible day. It'll be a wonderful, terrible day. And so we rejoice that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And we want to know him more and more and more. And we want others to know him too. As a Christian, you know, is it worth it? Every time I think about that, when someone asks me, well, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I said, what do you mean, is it worth it? Well, everything you gave up. And at the time, I knew no idea what I had, but I knew what I had before. And I had something in my heart that knew that there was more of the Lord. And so I didn't see that I gave up anything. I didn't see it as a great cost, because it was all bonus. The Lord is bonus. Some people think he's bogus, but he's bonus. He's bonus. And he's worth everything. And anything that we would feel like we were giving up, if you feel like you've got to give something up, man, get excited. Get excited about that. Because treasures are what you trade what you give up for. You know? He's more important. What he wants is more important. Not what I want, not what you want. It's not, you know. I mean, we sing about things that make it real. This is my desire. I want to honor you. Well, most of the time. It just depends. You know, it depends. That's sort of like sometimes Vicki will say, will you do something for me? And I say, why don't you just ask me what you want, you know? Will you do something? Or will you do me a favor? You know, that's a big one, you know. Somebody say, wait a second, a favor. Now that's something big, you know. I don't know for sure. It depends, you know. When it comes to my wife, it's not really a favor. It's a reasonable duty. Like I always talk about my children, when they said, you probably will say no. You're right. No. Well, I haven't even asked it. Doesn't matter. You said I'd probably say no, so we'll just save the conversation. No. Taught them quickly that they don't want to, you know, they don't want to come that way. They want to come saying, I prayed about it. I'm not going to argue when somebody prays about something. Well, probably there's a few things that I might say, you might just have missed that, or maybe, you know, the educational process. But the truth is that if we come to something where we feel like we have to make a splitting choice, Always choose Jesus. Always choose Jesus. If there's ever a question and you're thinking, oh, I don't know about the cost. Oh, jump into that one. Yes. Start jumping and saying yes before you can think about it. You know, when people say, well, is that what Jesus would really want? Oh, man, they're messed up. You know? He doesn't expect that much, does he? Probably. But he has so much for us. We drop a bag of rocks and are brought up on wings of angels. You know? Those things, it's just, he's worth it all. He's worth it all. You know, he is. He's worth it. That's just that. There's no question about it, worth it. Now I know the Bible does say you have to count the cost. You know, don't go to war without counting the cost. Coming into the kingdom of God is going to war. You know, but don't get to counting so far ahead. Just right now, at that moment, what do you prefer, Jesus or that? You know? I mean, because, my famous guy in jail that said, I still want to be bad. I said, go ahead. Be as bad as you want. But plan on Jesus messing with you. You choose him, he's going to mess with you. You know? Things are going to change. I see very little on Facebook, but I happened to see LaVon had an article in there, and she talked about how, well, I was pretty shocked, actually, but I read all the way through. I was shocked that she and Bob raised their voices. But I can hardly hear them when I'm around them. When I say, everybody praise the Lord. Woo-hoo! Yeah, I can count on Tara. But LaVon said that when they raise their voices, they make an appointment to discuss it later. What a great plan. You know, especially for me it would be, because I wouldn't remember what we're discussing. Not because I don't remember things, I just don't remember those things. You know? I don't want to go over and over and over things in my head. And I've discovered that it really works well when something comes into my mind that I know I mind it being there. I begin to speak in tongues and it disappears. Now, if I just remember to do that all the time, you'll very seldom hear English from my mouth. But I thought that was a great plan. We get together later. I would think later is probably better, huh? Unless you have these really long memories. And you write down everything you wish you'd have said, you know. I forgot that. Ooh, can we meet again? I got something better. I got a better deal here. You know? There's nothing like Jesus. And there's nothing worth more than Jesus. I was reading Ezekiel and Ezekiel's dry bones thing. You know? You know, can these bones live? And Ezekiel has the best answer, oh Lord, you know. That would be a safe response, wouldn't it? And God's response is, speak to the bones. Are you kidding me? Speak to them. You speak to the bones. And he knew, God knew, what are you going to say in a field full of bones? God said, say this to them. You're going to put on skin. You're going to come together. And then God breathed life into them. And then shortly after that, you read about the crushing of Gog and Magog. And then you get to the New Testament. They're going, when's this stuff going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And I just had this thought, you know, something that's happening every day. Every day, darkness is being crushed. Every day, Gog is being destroyed. Every day, the Lord is taking up residence in people's lives. Every day. Every single day. It's happening. It's happening. Lights are coming on. There's light in the darkness. And those who are in darkness, the Bible says, have seen a great light. See, we've seen the great light. We have seen a great light. We have seen Jesus. We have seen what Jesus does for our lives. We have seen it, and it's worth it. It is worth it. You see, there's a lot of people that are like gingerly, put your right foot in, pull your right foot out, put your right foot in, and shake it all about. You know, you get too much of that right foot in, and you're going to start shaking for the Lord, or you're going to have to get that off of you, you know. I found myself in the middle of the day thinking about Jesus. That's unsettling to people. They don't know why they would be thinking about Jesus. You know? For some reason, you know, like Vicki and I tell our testimony is for some reason, we thought Joshua should know something about Jesus. For some reason, we came to the conclusion that we were going to be responsible for that. My first thought was, she will be responsible for that. And I am not so bad. I couldn't even say it with a straight face then. You know, there's something wrong here. It might be me, but I like things the way they are. And then I met Jesus. And I got free from the way things are. And he will set us free continually from the way things are. It's sort of like making an appointment to argue later. Unless you like to argue, why would you make an appointment? You know? I mean, but there's some wisdom in that. It's like maybe we won't argue. So whenever it happens that you come together with that appointment and neither one of you want to argue, I expect to hear stories. That Bob and LaVon, they just started shouting and praising and running around that wasn't like them. Woo! Hallelujah! That's how happy we should be. That's how happy. Oh, how happy we will be. I don't know what the rest of it is, but anyway. Oh, how happy you have made me. You know? I am hooked on a feeling. I am believing that you're in love with me. You know? There is no high like the Most High. There's no way like His way. It is worth it to follow Jesus. He's paid all the costs. He's paid it. There's nothing that you could desire that is worth desiring if it doesn't meet His criteria. Nothing. And most of the time in our lives, we have little thoughts that maybe we are dead bones. That maybe we should know better. You know? It's like every time I go to jail, there is one guard or another guard or a covey of guards, and they're smoking or vaping. And I've seen them all so many times and told them how much I love them all so many times that they look at me and they say, yeah, I know. They know. Yeah. None of them say, this is the best thing I do in my life. None of them. They say, I want to keep doing it. They say, I probably shouldn't do it. My kids want me to quit. I know, I stink. You know, like, we got all kinds of things that can be said about it, but they know. People know. And it's when they know and then they meet the one who knows more that they can let go of what they know and follow. Yesterday, my cousin sent me a message that was preached by a pastor in North Carolina, and it was his 2024 election sermon. And he started preaching election sermons because one of the guys, Constitution guys, had talked to him about it, and he said, whoa, I should be talking about that. Because our nation was established on biblical principles. I mean, flat out. They were required. They were required to be a Christian to be a representative. They were required, you know, because the Constitution said that, it wasn't the Constitution that said it, but the people said things like, you know, the Bible is good, and it will hold a country together, and if a country isn't based on the Bible, they're going to fall apart. And then we, you know, you read things in the Bible about how a bunch of rulers were plotting together to come against the Lord, you know, and now we hear about alliances being made by these nations that can't stand each other. And every one of them are thinking, okay, we'll get these other people to help us and then we're going to be the top. No, God's still going to be the top. All they're going to do is put the pedal to the metal on the wrap-up. You know? And so his sermon on election was he was kind of spanking the Christians, saying, you know, you got to vote. You know? And don't say, well, I can't stand either one of them, so I'm gonna write in ballot. He said, that's not like voting. That's not like voting. That's nothing. There's two people. You got to pick one. And if you don't like something about them, there's something you don't like about everything. So what's the difference? There isn't anybody perfect, but you should vote on godly principles. And he had a bunch of statistics about how many million Christians don't vote. And how many million aren't even registered to vote. And they have an attitude that says, well, we're just gonna sit and watch. No, you're not. You know? And so he had that little message. And he assured them that you don't like everything about this church. And you don't like everything about me. Maybe you like, you know. And I guess I could kind of agree. You might not like everything about me. You know. The sound system isn't right. You might not like it. But there's only one perfect one. If I was any more perfect, then I would be in danger of you worshiping me. But you don't have to worry about that. Aren't you glad? God's got protection in there. I love you too, friend. Hallelujah. I do. I love all of you. I was set, you know, I've always said that for most of my life, I was Zacchaeus out on a limb. You know, I just was. So I would, you know, I don't know of anyone else that ever had a hate club in high school that booed when the guy was introduced for their own basketball team. You know, but that's, I was set free from, you know, pretty much what people think. It isn't that you always like it, but it doesn't beat me up. You know, and Vicky will tell me, "Oh, honey, it's okay." You know, but God is so good that he's worth everything. And so no matter what it is, God's worth it. His way's worth it. His word's worth it. What he wants is worth it. And a Christian should never have a depends clause on if it's worth it with the word of God. Let your answer always be yes and amen. You know? Use some of the Bible responses. Use Ezekiel that said, "Oh Lord, you know." All right then, speak to those bones. What are you going to say to bones? You don't know what to say to bones, but you see bones all the time. You see people that are just dead bones. They might go by the mirror and think how good they're looking, but you know they're dead bones. You know, what are you going to say to dead bones? Live. Live. What do you mean, live? I'm glad you asked. We're salt and light, right? So we salt, and then we shine. Live. Well, what do you mean, live? Well, you're looking a little dead. Come alive in Christ. Why? I believe in Jesus. Okay. What would you give up to follow Jesus? Depends. Wrong answer. Two wrong answers. First of all, you just acknowledge that you don't follow Jesus. And maybe with the other one, you're kind of considering, but the cost might be too great. It's nothing. It's as filthy rags. It's just take a stand. Take a stand. You know? We need our ligaments joined together, and we need our skin to come on, and we need our lights to shine. Because even the people who don't know Jesus are wondering if even God can help. You know the answer. Yes, he can. God can. God can. Well, why hasn't he done something? He is. Just imagine, you're asking a question like that. Why doesn't God do something? That means you're thinking about God. Let me help you. Let me help you. Just, I think people are helpable. Jesus said, go find the ones that are helpable. I think that's a word, maybe it's not. But, you know, he said, if you go and they don't want to be helped, pull your foot out and shake it off. But as Ezekiel gives us the famous talk about being watchmen, you know, oh watchman, if I set you on the wall and you don't tell, you're going to be held responsible for not telling. Is it worth it to tell? Is it worth it? Of course it is. Well, what if I offend them and they never come to Jesus? I don't think that's possible. What if they don't like me anymore? Didn't like you much in the first place. You don't know what they were thinking about you. You know, I heard you were one of those. Get a t-shirt that says, I'm one of those. Yeah. Hook down Jesus. Pray, you know. It's worth it. It's worth it. And when we spend time with Jesus, we have some worth it lists in our life. You know? And all of our worth it lists are like, thank God, thank God, thank God. It not only was worth it, but thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. Thus will I bless you. I will lift up my hands unto your name. You're different. You're different. You got a different spirit. You got different preferences. You've got different desires. And when other desires want to crowd the right desires, get out of here. Because it's worth it. It's always worth it. He's worth it. There's nothing that compares to life in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I want to know Christ. And I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. He was tunnel visioned about that. That's what we want too. Oh, there is just so much going on. And there's just, you know, it's like it would have, you know, we think it might have been a lot easier to be a Christian if we came on a covered wagon because there wasn't so many distractions, you know. I think there were distractions then too. There were. There's always distractions. But it doesn't matter how many distractions there are, he's still the main attraction. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen? Lord, I want to be a Christian into my heart. Into my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus into my heart. Into my heart. Lord, I want to bring honor to you in my heart. Lord, there is no cost too great. But what the replacement will be greater than we can imagine. And so we just declare to you, Lord, it's worth everything. Everything. Lord, we hear people on talent shows that say, what would it be worth to you? What does it mean to you? It means everything. That's great. But you are everything. Everything. And so thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together and together declare, you are everything, and you are worth it all. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.